Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Fear not. That is a message from our Lord himself. He said, "Fear not, little flock." He often told the disciples when they were afraid, when they were on the water, the Sea of Galilee was swamping the boat. He told them not to be afraid. And those are the words that we have not only now, but in every situation we face. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, you think about when the disciples were in the middle on that storm on the Sea of Galilee, and they were frightened. The storm, the waves were crushing against them, and they're like, "Lord, why are you there just sleeping in the boat?" Yeah. That doesn't make sense to them.
You know, there's two different stories of two different situations in which the disciples were in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, both of them during storms. And in the one case, Jesus was in the boat, and he was in the stern of the boat, and he was sleeping with, the scriptures say, his head on a pillow. Mm-hmm. And it was a storm that came. The other is when the disciples were in the boat by themselves. Jesus had fed the multitudes, and he'd gone up into the mountain to pray, and he prayed for hours, and he came during the fourth watch of the night, which is around 3 a.m. And the storm was so bad that they were fearful and they thought he was a ghost. So those are the two different stories, but Jesus responded the same way. In the first story, I love it because it says that the boat was being rocked back and forth, and its water was coming into the boat, and they were fearful for their life. They thought that this was it.
And these are probably pretty rugged little boats, weren't yachts or anything fancy.
No, they're smaller, and they're going to be tossed around.
Right.
And the Sea of Galilee can get pretty rough at different times with the changing of the winds and temperatures.
Yeah.
So they looked back, and Jesus is doing what? You know, Jesus is
asleep.
He's
resting,
asleep.
At
the
peace.
Lord is asleep, at peace, with his head on a pillow. And these disciples, they are exhausted, and they look to Jesus and they say, "Do you not have any concern for us? We're about ready to die." And he looks up at them and he says, "Why are you afraid?" And he looks to the water and he calms the water and the wind, and immediately they obey him. And they look at each other and said, "What sort of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" The other one is similar, where the disciples are in the boat and they are trying to get to the other side. Jesus spends many, many hours up in the mountain area by himself. He got away from the crowd, sent the disciples on ahead of him, and he was praying to the Heavenly Father. And he knew that they were in trouble. He then eventually walks on the water at fourth watch of the night, which is 3 a.m, which is interesting in and of itself, which we could have a whole discussion about. Why did he come out at the fourth watch of the night? It was intentional.
Right.
And he was walking on the water. They thought it was a ghost, and they were terrified. They thought, again, this is it. They're over.
They're sunk.
Yeah. I mean, and again, they're about ready to go under. And then Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, it is I." And when he says, "it is I," it's ego in me, I am. It is I. We translate it, "it is I." And ego in me is the Greek two words. It just means I am.
But you know, Matt, I mean, it's easy to laugh at the disciples and think, oh, they were silly. But you think about each of us, we go through personal storms in our own life, as well as storms as a nation. And are we turning to him? Are we reaching out to him? Are we just saying, "Why don't you care? Why are you asleep through all of this?"
Right, right. And, you know, a lot of people that don't have the hope are even more fearful.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as Christians, we shouldn't have fear.
Sure.
Because we know that we serve the Lord of the universe. Colossians says that the entire universe is held together through our Lord Jesus Christ. He created it with the Word. He ultimately holds it together. He is not only the creator. He's also our redeemer. He commands winds to just be silent. He tells them just shut up. If you know, that would be a slang way of doing
right.
it.
Right.
But he tells the winds just be silent. Stop it.
Be still.
And they do.
And know that I'm
and
God.
The waters, you know, yeah. he just tells them to just cut it out. Mm-hmm. Knock it off. You know, that's again a slang way. That's a different interpretation, but that's the meaning behind it. Jesus just says peace.
But he created
and
those
he told
storms.
Them
he created
to
that
just
sea.
Calm down.
He created all of that. So he has command over it.
Yeah, he does. And that's why they were so astounded. Even the wind, and you know, it's one thing for your employee or your servant or your friend or your acquaintance to listen to what you say. Mm. It's another thing for you to have, with a word, control over nature, winds and water. And Jesus does. And those passages are powerful reminders that we serve a living, resurrected Lord Jesus. And as we're moving into the Easter week, that last few days of the life of Jesus here on earth before the cross, it's a powerful reminder that even in the face of extreme adversity, imagine the disciples. After the crucifixion, their hopes were crushed. I mean, absolutely shattered. Their hearts were so heavy. And they thought it was all over, and that they would ultimately be treated like they just saw their Lord treated, and they were scared. And yet, Sunday morning, the grave couldn't hold them.
Right.
And they saw the resurrected Jesus Christ, and their lives were transformed. So, you know, it's a virus. The Lord can say in a word, stop. And he gives us the opportunity as his church during this time, whether it's a virus, whether it's the issue of abortion, whether it's other things that are happening in our life or around the world, to really take time focused in prayer.
Right. And he gives us that authority to speak to those things that are not of him as well.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, we did, and I'll read this again because it does constantly remind us. It's just a pledge that we wrote. And it has 9 points to it. And you can add others if you want to. You can get it on our website. It's at lc.org, because here we have a 2-page memo on knowing your rights during a state of emergency. We also have a survey. We want to get your opinion about all the different things that you're experiencing, thinking, encountering with regards to the coronavirus, government restrictions, and other things. It's right there at lc.org. But it says, and I'll just read them, one, we do not fear because we serve the Creator and our Redeemer. Fear not, little flock.
And you know, this is an opportunity for us as Christians to speak hope and life to those people who don't know him. This is our opportunity to be Christ to those who need him and to share the gospel.
It is. And so this pledge is a pledge to bring hope and light to the world.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is, we will not add to the panic. If you're panicked, you're going to add to the panic.
Right.
You give off panic.
And God is not the author of confusion.
He's not the author of panic, confusion, or fear. So we will not add to the panic. Three, we will speak peace to all we encounter. Some people may say, well, you're not taking it seriously. No, you can have peace in the time of extreme distress.
Right.
You can have peace if you're thrown in the lion's den, or peace if you're thrown in the fiery furnace.
Because you trust and you have faith in him.
We will minister to the world the light of the world. We will be the church that Jesus Christ or Jesus called us to be and run to, not from, danger to save souls. We will remember that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We will pray that this virus is crushed, and I pray that you pray that daily. We will pray for wisdom for our elected leaders, for President Trump and his administration, for the local state governors, wherever you live, no matter who they are,
right.
Pray for wisdom.
Especially now with all the stress and everything going on, there's big decisions being made. We need to pray for our president and administration.
And we will spend more time in the Word of God than we spend in chasing media stories. Use this time to immerse yourself in the Word of God. I tell you what, you're not going to be coming away with a bunch of panic. That's where you have peace. The Word of God has been transmitted to us through centuries, through the blood of martyrs, and we have it on our smart tablets, our phones, in our libraries, in our books, the Bibles. Take advantage of it, because the Word of God speaks through generations and is timely every single day. For more information, go to lc.org. You can print out the 2-page Know Your Rights document and take the survey, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.